checking down, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Good morning, Reading. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show, Positively Healthy, here on KCNR 1460. Well, top of the year here. We have our producer, Jim Bremer, who's going to be here this year. Do you promise?
As far as I know, I don't. Carl's in here today, so maybe I'm getting fired.
Highly unlikely. I want to just thank Jim for all of his hard work, because he's always here trying to teach us new stuff, how to be a little better, and saves us a lot of the time. So, you know, I want to talk about this weather a little bit, because, you know, it's fog, and I don't really like fog. It's scary to me. So yeah. What's the fog doing?
Well, the interesting thing about it, it's in the valley. It's like yesterday. Of course, in Reading, we had fog pretty much all day, and the sun came out for, you know, a little bit before it got dark and fogged up again. But it is supposed to be lifting a little bit earlier today. The Weather Service says after 10 o'clock, but it looks like it's going to be a little bit later. So that's really going to affect our temperatures, too, because we had a high yesterday in Reading at the airport of 37 degrees. It was supposed to be in the low 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the forecast for today says a high of 46, but that's assuming at some point the fog lifts. And at this point, who knows when that's going to happen.
Now, what about pockets of fog? Should we be worried about pockets of fog?
Absolutely. And it is really lying in the valley areas. In fact, yesterday afternoon I checked. Reading Municipal Airport had a lot of fog. Weaverville had a lot of fog. It was sunny in Arcata and 54 degrees, which we should have been having at that time. But, again, the fog is just sitting in the valleys, and it's just not lifting.
They've taken our weather.
They've hijacked our weather. Yeah. Those terrorists.
They are. They seem peaceful, but watch out.
Now, we used to be, maybe years ago we'd call it a commie plot.
Oh, my.
Mark would know about that. The Cold War article this morning.
That's
it's
right.
Column about the bomb shelters, fallout shelters.
Oh, yeah.
That was interesting.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, fog can look like there's, nothing's really happening at your house, but just a couple miles away, you could have a little trouble on the road. So keep that in mind if you're just doing something kind of optional.
Yeah,
today.
And in fact, if you look out, at, in the mountain areas, Oregon Mountain, I'm looking at Buckhorn, the Caltrans cameras, 299, up around Bernie Johnson Park. That's all clear. I mean, it looks good up there, but getting down to the lower elevations, and you're going to see some fog, and like you said, it can really sneak up on you.
Good. Okay, good warning, good information. And then just, one more little piece of info we need from you. What's the rest of this week? When are we going to have rain again?
Well, it looks like maybe a chance. Tuesday night, the Weather Service says about a 20% chance of rain. Tuesday night, chance of rain Wednesday. It's kind of iffy at this point, but it looks like we will be getting at least some showers come the middle of the week or so.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for that update. That just helps everybody plan.
And it's 41 right now.
And it's 41.
Ooh, chilly.
Okay. Well, so, we've started the new year here. This show is just totally fixated on trying to come up with ideas, little ideas, easy ideas to get you healthy, get you happy. And and we ended the year last year, we met a lot of our neighbors around here. We had a lot of guests on. We talked health with people. We met a lot of people into, I'm into this whole food movement thing where we're trying to eat a little more local food in order to have farmers be able to produce local food. We need to change, we need to kind of buy it from them. And so some of that is you have to rework your budget a little bit. And so I want to talk about that for a second because, being in private practice, you talk to people a lot about their eating habits, what's healthy, what can they improve on a little bit. We're always trying to do a little bit, make a little change. And so last year a lot of people went from maybe meats that had hormones in them, antibiotics, all this stuff, and they changed over to healthier foods, healthier eggs, healthier cheese, and they did notice that they had to give up something. And so what they had to give up, they maybe had to give up, the acrylic fingernails. Or, they had to give up some little, maybe their cell phone plan had to scale back just a smidge, So there are these things that in order to eat a little better, the price of real food, the kind that should go in your system, it's gone up in price. Yeah, and if you're going to support a local person, they aren't going to have that cheap factory farmed food. I mean, it's not really food. And so the way you'll see that pay off for you in the long run is that you'll be healthier longer, more than likely. And so that means that maybe you won't have to meet your deductible for your health insurance. Maybe if you're upright, walking, and feeling good for more years, you know, that's a positive spin for you. So, but you know, when we look at 2011, we're looking at what can you cut back on a little bit? What have you become just convinced that you can't live without, that's maybe a little bit silly? It is a luxury, and maybe that can go into your personal food budget and your family's food budget. Hey, you know what? You're listening to Positively Healthy. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. We'll be right back.
Today.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. Yeah, you know, we're talking about food, real food, the kind of food that is clean. It doesn't have a lot of pollutants, and usually it comes from a small farmer nearby. And so that's sort of the way we're hoping to grow Shasta County and our surrounding counties. It's the, you know, we're trying to help you make a little shift into supporting all this beautiful, clean food. And we have a guest on the line here. His name is Chris Kirsten, and he's with Chafin Family Orchards out of Oroville. And Chris, are you with us today?
I'm here, yeah.
Hey,
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Well, you know what? You guys have so much going on down there. And, you know, I want to start with, I just want to give the folks out in radio listening land a little background here.
Sure. You know, our farm was, it's a 100-year-old farm. It's in Oroville. If you're familiar with Oroville at all, you've seen Table Mountain.
Yes, our farm's
backed up against Table Mountain. We've got a cool little microclimate there. It's a 2,000-acre farm. We grow all sorts of amazing stuff, lots of heirloom fruits. We've got 300 acres of orchards and then 1,700 acres of rangeland, including some land on top of the mountain. And the farm's been, always been a leader in alternative agriculture. You know, when it was started 100 years ago by Del Chafin, and he was an early environmentalist, and he saw that resources were limited and, that things that they took for granted then were going to be a problem later down the road. One of the first things he did was put in a 6,000-acre-foot reservoir on top of Table Mountain. It's basically the largest rainwater collection in Northern California. There's no inlet, it's just a dam. It's a big, giant puddle. And
on top of Table Mountain?
On top of Table Mountain, yeah. So we've got our own little lake up there to provide our own water. He also had this vision of selling local food directly to the community. At that time, it was very popular to sell food to the train by refrigerated boxcar. And a lot of Northern California's fruit went to major eastern hubs like Boston and New York City and those kind of places in Chicago. And he didn't want to be a part of that. He wanted to sell a fresh local product direct to our own community. And so, when he put in his orchards, he's got all these what now are heirloom varieties. Slow Food has them listed on their endangered Ark of Taste. All these varieties that were bred for flavor, not for taste.
Wow.
Not for shipping ability, you know, and they can really travel, or they can't travel, you know, they're fragile, and so we have to sell them in a really small area, you know, it's even hard for me to get them to the Bay Area, you know, because they're such fragile soft fruit, and so that was a big goal of his, and then livestock was a big part of that. He understood the value of livestock and how they can really be used to enhance a piece of property, not degrade it, and. About 10 years ago, we enhanced on that even further, and we started running our livestock down in the orchards in the summertime. And so in the summertime, we turn on the water in our orchards and we irrigate. So we get a lot of grass that grows on the orchard floor. And if you're used to driving through the valley, you see most people either spray Roundup or mow that and have a nice, clean orchard floor of bare dirt. And that just didn't fly with us. We were never into that. It wasn't our deal. And so about 10 years ago, we thought, what if we put the livestock in the orchards, let them eat the grass, and utilize their other special abilities and help us manage this land? And so basically what this has evolved into is that now the sheep and the cows basically do all of our mowing. The goats actually come in and can do pruning on the olives. They're also incredible at handling invasive weeds, things like Himalayan blackberry, poison oak, wild grape, star thistle. And then the chickens come in behind them, and they eat all the bugs, and they also have probably the best nitrogen fertilizer in their manure. And so by doing this, we've cut our fuel consumption by 85%.
Impressive.
Just by utilizing each animal's special abilities and then rotating them through our orchards as needed. And so not only are we saving the fuel, we're saving the labor to put somebody on a tractor, we're getting more crops per acre, and we're not buying those other inputs like fertilizers and weed killers and things like that. And so it's a really cool system. The whole farm, all 2,000 acres, it runs with 5 people.
Unbelievable.
Because everything takes care of itself. It's all part of a symbiotic relationship. And so, yeah, it's really, really exciting, and it's fun to be a part of.
Now, what type of products do you offer the consumer?
So we do grass-fed beef, lamb, wool, goat, chicken, eggs, olive oil. We have some of the oldest olive trees in production in the country. These are 100-year-old trees. And then we do about 40 different varieties of fruit, but mostly stone fruit, citrus, and then in the fall we've got figs and pomegranates and persimmons. But, apricots, cherries, peaches, nectarines, and again, all those old-fashioned, endangered, you know, varieties.
And where can people buy your stuff?
So we sell at the Chico Farmers Market. We've been there for just shy of 30 years. You can always come to the farm. We have a farm stand open. We've done some CSA stuff in Sacramento and Nevada City, but neither of those are really going right now. We've got drop-off points in Berkeley, Oakland, San Francisco, so we're kind of going all over the place. But for local North Valley people, the Chico Farmers Market's the easiest to find us. And then Chico Natural carries a lot of our stuff as well.
Okay, and then now, do you do any Internet orders?
We do for our olive oil and our more shipping-friendly fruits, like the citrus. And then we also sell raw olives in the fall if you want to cure your own olives. And that's gotten really popular. We ship those all over the country, and we ship them in little 20-pound boxes, and we probably ship 5 or 10 tons of those a year in little 20-pound boxes for people to make their own olives at home. It's this little niche that we found people are really into, and
they
want to make their own olives without lye. All commercially bought olives, they all are cured with lye.
Right.
And so people want to do it the old-fashioned way, either lacto-fermented or just a brine cure. And so we kind of have been shipping those all over, too, which is kind of cool.
And then what's your website so listeners can, if they want to click in and be part of your scene?
Right? Absolutely. It's www.chaffinfamilyorchards.com. And Chaffin is spelled C-H-A-F-F-I-N.
Okay, that's easy enough.
Yeah, and if you want to give us a phone number, if you don't have the web or
yeah.
you can't find us for some reason, you can always give the office a ring. It's 530-533-1676.
Okay. And now, your farm has a connection with the Weston A. Price Foundation, of which I am a chapter leader of our Reading group. I'm the Reading leader. And then Carol, who is your co-owner, right, of your
right.
of your farm. She is your chapter leader, the Butte leader. Now, how did you guys get involved with the Weston A. Price Foundation?
Carol's been, you know, she got a copy of Nourishing Traditions and has been pretty heavily involved for probably the last decade. But the big change probably, you know, around the farm was probably due to her son, Josh. Josh is 8 years old, and he used to have seizures all the time, like on a really, really regular basis. And it was really scary. He was constantly going to the ER. He just had a lot of health problems. And so Carol put him on GAPS, it's a gut and psychology syndrome diet that was developed by Dr. Natasha Campbell, who's over in England. And it's basically designed to clean the gut, start from scratch, rebuild flora, heal your gut lining, stop leakage in the gut, and start over. And from the time that Josh has been on that diet, literally from the first day on, he has not had a seizure once.
I love it.
So
what do you know about, what can you tell people about the diet? So it's...
You basically, on a GAPS diet, this is not the same as Weston Price, but, you know, they're definitely, you know, similar.
Yeah, they're big overlap.
But GAPS is definitely more intense than just regular Weston Price. But you basically start with broth and then slowly add in other foods, and you check for reactions at kind of each level. And so you just start really slow, and you just do basically meat soups, just broth and meat, and then one by one kind of add in other things until your gut is healed, but then also at the same time you kind of know what your body's ready to handle at that time.
And what you're sensitive to, right?
Exactly. So,
yeah, you can eliminate then.
Right.
Yeah, hey, Chris, we have to take a radio break, so
okay, no
just
worries.
Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
You're listening to Positively Healthy. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt on KCNR 1460. We'll be right back with Chris.
What do you look for in a bill?
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. If you have a question for our caller, Chris Kirsten, the call-in number is 605-4567. And if you also want to do any kind of streaming on your computer, kcnr1460.com. Welcome back, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, hey, you know, I want to talk a little more about the Weston A. Price Foundation, and, you know, we talked a little bit about the special diet, but let's just talk about, you know, how you guys are relating to the Weston A. Price Foundation. You started the Butte chapter not all that long ago, and it sounds like it's just sort of growing, and, you know, a lot of this kind of get back and know your farmer and eat real food and process it in ways that help digestion. You know, it's starting to have a cult status, you know. It seems like it's like, wow.
Yeah, it's getting huge. You know, I'm amazed at how many farmers markets I go to, and people are very aware of the movement now, and it's definitely coming into its own and kind of maturing and growing up. We started the Weston Price chapter in Chico a little longer than a year ago, and pretty much from our first meeting on, we've had between 75 and 100 attendees every month.
That's great.
And then we're also doing side classes, you know, nutritional classes.
What kind of classes are you guys putting on? What are you teaching people?
Journey into Real Food is one of the classes Carol teaches. She's also going to do a class on GAPS. This next month we're doing a class on how to evaluate a farm and what are the right questions to ask. And if you're going to go out there, what things to look for, you know, and kind of get past some of this idea that organic certification is the only way to tell if food
very
is
good
and nutrient dense. And Joel's going to talk a little bit more about that, too. But,
yeah.
You know, to kind of take the next step and ask a few more questions and go beyond that. And so that's been positive. You know, but basically a little history of Weston Price. You know, Weston Price is a gentleman's name. He was a doctor in the 20s, and he was a dentist. And he had a nephew that was in part of National Geographic, and he said, you know, these hunter-gatherer tribes don't have bad, crooked teeth. And he knew that his uncle had, you know, been really griping about the nature of teeth in America and why there were so many cavities and crooked teeth and what they were calling dental deformities. So Weston Price just started to kind of go around the world and catalog these hunter-gatherer groups. And he found many commonalities between them. You know, most of them had a diet that was heavily based on animal fats. In fact, all of them had that. But then they also all did some common things. Most of them ate organ meats. And you'll find this in nature, too. Like if a mountain lion takes an animal down, the first thing it eats is the organ meats. And then it leaves the other meat to kind of age for a while before it comes back and eats that. But that's its last priority, is eating the meat. It always eats the organs first, which is one of the reasons we dry-age our beef on our farm. We dry-age our beef 21 to 28 days because it kind of simulates that, basically letting the enzymes in the beef kind of break it down and make it really tender.
Mm-hmm.
They all valued seafood. They would all these cultures that he went to would send groups down to the coastal regions, no matter how high up in the mountains they were or how far they were, you know, kind of from, you know, ocean life, they would send somebody out on some trek to get dried roe or, you know, fish heads or whatever they could bring back in a stable form, you know, so seafood or kelp, dried kelp. And so seafood was important to them. Fermented foods, they would either ferment or soak their grains, fermented vegetables. If they did dairy, they would, you know, maybe do kefir or, you know, creme fraiche or these other things that are fermented. And you know, he just kind of went around and cataloged this, and he found that the people were really healthy and they lived long lives, and they didn't spend, you know, 20 years dying in their old age. They just got old and died one day. You know,
love
it wasn't
that.
This long, painful process that we're used to in, you know, kind of Western society. and they were happy. You know, there was a happiness there. You know, childbirth wasn't the same complications that we're used to dealing with today. You know, people had these big, wide, broad faces that could fit all their teeth in their mouth. You know, it was just different. And so so that's what Weston Price is all about. Weston Price is all about kind of continuing on with his original work and how to bring people the most nutrient-dense food as possible so that we can all be healthy and, you know, kind of live to our fullest potential.
Now, what kind of foods do you eat personally? What are you attracted to?
You know, I've always just felt like meat is one of the most nourishing foods, and that's always been kind of a negative in our society. But, I mean, I am like a meataholic. I can't sit down at a meal and not eat meat. And that's like taboo in our culture today. You know, so many people are like, oh, you know, number one, you're destroying the environment, you're destroying your health. And everything in my gut and my conscience says that's completely the opposite. And that, you know, meat is the most nourishing. It makes the most sense from an environmental standpoint. You know, we're so used to thinking about meat in this feedlot-like mentality nowadays, but when you think about how it's supposed to be designed, grass grows really good in the foothills and the mountains, in land that's not real arable for other crops, and cows are really good at eating grass and turning it into meat. And so it's the system that actually has the least amount of inputs, because you can step away and let that process occur on its own. You don't have to redesign the ecosystem like you do on a farm, where you kind of scrape everything away and start over with whatever it is you want to plant. It's the opposite. You slip these livestock into the system, and they biologically harvest what's there, but they enhance the environment at the same time. You know, but I don't know, hopefully this isn't getting too deep, but grass is what's known as a mirror species, in that whatever is above the ground, you usually have about the same amount of root mass below the ground. So if you got 2 foot tall grass, you roughly have 2 feet of roots.
Okay.
And so every time livestock goes and bites a piece of that grass and the blade on top is now sheared off, the solar collector is damaged. That plant now doesn't have the capacity to get as much energy from the sun. So what does it do? It takes out all the liquid energy in the lower parts of the roots and brings them up to help regrow that blade of grass. Then it takes that lower part of the root that it's now extracted the energy from, and it sloughs it off. So it basically lets it die off underneath the soil and then regrows that blade of grass. Now the plant can then go and recollect energy from the sun.
Sounds sustainable to me.
If the cow then bites it before it regrows that root, you've overgrazed. But if you now let that cow move on and let that root grow back, you've done a couple of really amazing things. You've taken carbon out of the air and grown more root. The root that's left behind that got sheared off is now compost. You've injected organic matter into the soil. This is what builds topsoil. This is the most effective, efficient way to build topsoil. And this grazing herd grassland relationship is what built our prairies in this country that makes our land so fertile that we're now growing grain crops on and destroying that through heavy tillage and chemical use.
Excellent. Okay, hey, you know what? We need to take a quick radio break.
Cool.
Yeah, so don't go anywhere. Hold that thought. Keep the momentum. I love it. And we'll be right back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy on KCNR 1460.
Take down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. On the line, we have Chris Kirsten of Chaffin Family Orchards down in Oroville, and he's with us today. We've covered a lot of things here. We've talked about the Weston A. Price Foundation and just a slow movement, which isn't really slow. It's a fast movement to people getting back to real food and also looking at their food in a way that helps their digestion and looking at the whole cycle, the cycle of life. And so, Chris, you know, I want to move on. I mean, we could both talk about the Weston A. Price Foundation, you know, for 2 weeks, and I would love that. But, you know, you guys are so with it and organized down there that you are bringing in Joel Salatin. And I want to move on so we can promote that event, because that's just wild crazy, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear that you just have only really been scheduled to have this pretty darn famous guy come in for a week, and you already have sold 300 tickets.
We're at over 380 this morning.
380 this morning.
Yeah,
gosh.
It's been a whirlwind. You know, about 10 days ago, Joel called and You know, I knew he was coming to the area, but, you know, originally he had said he was booked, and he said, you know, Chris, I could squeeze you in. I'd love to come and kind of visit your place and check things out. And I said, Joel, can we book you for a quick speaking thing? Because I don't think Chico has ever heard this message or the surrounding area.
Yeah.
I saw him a few years ago when he came to Lincoln, and it was fantastic. It literally changed my life. It was life-changing.
Oh,
and I've seen how it's changed that community over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And so if you're not familiar with who Joel Salatin is, he's the farmer that was featured in Michael Pollan's Omnivore's Dilemma,
mm-hmm,
as the model of a pastoral, you know, based, you know, livestock farming system. He was also in Fresh, the movie, and then the Academy Award-nominated Food, Inc. documentary last year that that got, you know, probably more notoriety than Omnivore's Dilemma. But he's just a cool guy. His farm is in Virginia. There's a lot of similarities between their farm and our farm in Oroville.
Sounds like it.
But Joel's on a different level. He's head and shoulders are kind of above the rest. They've got a 160-acre parcel, and they're currently raising 6,500 laying hens, 24,000 broilers, 1,000 head of cattle, 200 hogs, 500 turkeys, and 250 meat rabbits.
Wow.
The way they're able to do that, now they've added a few local leases over time in the last 10 years, but the way they're able to do that and get that density while still enhancing the property is because they're dovetailing those things. And it's the same way that our animals work in our orchards. He uses the animals to enterprise stack and dovetail with each other. And so the chickens eat the fly larva out of the cow patties and then scratch the patties and then turn that bug protein into, you know, healthy meat and eggs.
Yes.
And so then he doesn't have a parasite problem with his cows. He enhances his pasture. They're literally watching topsoil grow out there at an exponential rate.
Oh,
I mean,
my.
Every year their land gets more and more fertile. And it's getting to the point where neighbors want to give them land so that it enhances their own property. So it's just cool. Everything's based on permaculture, just like us. No annual plantings. It's all pastoral, you know, based on grassland, you know, native grasslands, not planted pastures like we see in the valley.
Right.
It's all non-toxic, you know, I guess you could say organic farm, but, you know, neither him nor us are certified organic, and we're going to talk about that a bunch at the workshop.
I love that. Hey, you know what? Let's take a call real fast. So
okay.
Somebody probably has a question for you. So go ahead. Hello, are you there, caller?
Hi, Trudy.
Oh, hi.
Hi. This is very interesting. This is Kay.
Oh, hi, Kay.
And Chris is very interesting.
Oh, thank you.
I just found, I double-checked in the 2011 shopping guide for Weston Price, and the, is it Chaffin?
The Chaffin Orchards, yeah.
Yeah, and they're listed on page 34.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Okay, yeah. So then you guys are selling food across the nation.
Yeah, that's for our olive oil. Yeah, we went to the conference this last November and saw Joel speak there. And, you know, he's just such an amazing guy. He gets this, you know, rally the troops type speech. This isn't, you know, not going to be a dry farming lecture. I mean, this guy's funny. He makes it real for, you know, regular consumers. And it's going to be, you know, we're going to put on something that's about, you know, regular folks and learning where to get good, healthy food and how to do it, you know, kind of on an affordable basis.
Oh, excellent. Hey, Kay,
well,
thanks for the...
I was wondering, I was really interested about the olives, the fresh olives.
Okay.
And I was wondering, is there a way to make olives so that they don't have all the sodium in them?
That's pretty hard because, you know, basically... There is a water cure method, which uses less sodium. You can search on the internet for water. But after about 11 months, you're going to have to do it about probably 3 or 4 times. So it's 3 or 4 years before you get it really dialed in. And it's hard to get all the bitterness out. So if you have a typical American palate, it's hard to kind of get on board with that and say, oh, this is the product I wanted to produce. So that's
what
a hard
if you
one.
Put a bunch of herbs like rosemary and garlic and stuff in?
Sure, you can add stuff back in, but it you know, olives have got a lot of tannins in them, so it's hard to fully mask that with other flavors.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Kay. Chris, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. It sounded like everybody left right there.
That would be bad.
Yes. Hey, we're going to take a quick radio break. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. We'll be right back.
Hi.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt.
You're listening to Positively Healthy. I absolutely feel groovy. I mean, this is a great show. I'm learning so much. And, you know, Chris, we have Chris Kirsten of Chaffin Family Orchards from Oroville on the line. And, you know, you guys are the Butte chapter of the Weston A. Price Foundation, my favorite nutrition foundation. I'm the Redding chapter leader. Our group is smaller. Darn it. And you're bringing in kind of one of our heroes, you know, Joe Salatin. And we've watched him over the years just really become the spokesperson. And, you know, I've only really watched clips of him. So to get to see him, that's January 17th. That's on a Monday. Mm-hmm. And, like, kind of give us the details of that, and then we'll start talking about him again. So for people who are maybe getting in and out of their car, they're like, well, when is this guy coming or when? You know, and how much is it? Yeah.
Let's run through the details real slow. It's January 17th. It's going to be at the Chico Masonic Family Center.
And where is that? I was trying to figure that out in my head.
That's on 1110 West East Avenue. So you got to remember, it's West East Avenue towards the railroad tracks in Chico, not I guess East Avenue. that's always confusing. But
okay.
The Masonic Center is a great venue. We can fit over 600 people in there, and so we're at the 380 this morning. We were over 380 this morning, and that's in a week. People, you know who this guy is, and they're excited, you know. And so in a week with virtually no, you know, traditional advertising, 380 people are like, let's go.
Yeah.
Part of that reason is because it's only $14 a person. I've seen Joel speak probably half a dozen times and met him on several occasions. I've never paid less than $50.
Is that right?
Yeah, and so, you know, he's doing us a little bit of a favor in coming down to see us, and we were able to get ticket prices really low, and out of the deal, he's going to get to do a tour of our farm and come see what we're doing, and we're going to kind of get to exchange ideas, but we're really, really honored that he wants to come and speak, and he's willing to kind of share his message with the community, because he's a really, really fun guy.
Is he coming through the Bay Area and headed to Oregon? I can't remember what his tour was right now.
He's gonna run through Berkeley twice, and then he's gonna go up to Nevada City. Well, I guess it's Grass Valley on Saturday, and I actually have tickets to that one as well. I got invited to go to the Berkeley one. I'm not sure, but both of those cost like more money. I'm paying $100 to go see him Saturday in Grass Valley.
Wow. Would you say you're a groupie?
Yeah.
I'm thinking so.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's such a cool guy. It's neat to kind of approach him farmer to farmer. But he's just so good at connecting with people, you know, regardless of what their background is or what they're trying to get out of it. He's really good at this, which is why he's kind of become this media superstar. For the last probably 10, maybe 15 years, he's been this, you know, I call him the godfather of alternative farming, and farmers always loved him. But it's probably the last 5 or 7 years that he's become this, like, superstar with, like, mainstream America. And it's just because he's so good at that, because he just makes it real for people. And he's energetic and fun and lively. So yeah, it's $14. To get tickets, you're going to want to go to Chaffin Orchards, Chaffin Orchards.eventbrite.com. If you can't figure that out, you know, just because it's hard to find or whatever, go ahead and call our farm. It's 533-1676.
And if you're totally lost, you know, email my office. We definitely can shoot you the email that hooks you up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and doing it online is just saving us effort, because, you know, we're farming full time, and so this is, like I said, a last minute thing. We've known about this for less than 10 days. We've only been advertising it since we had everything inked by last weekend, and so we've only been advertising it for less than a week, and we're already at 380 tickets. So
yeah.
The word
yeah.
is getting out there. We fully expect to sell out and have a packed house. So, you know, get your tickets now. And the really cool thing is he said he'd do a book signing for us. And so you can bring your, you know, favorite copy of his book or Michael Pollan's book and have him sign it. And then he'll also have some books for sale there if you don't have, you know, one of his books. Or his newest one is The Sheer Ecstasy of Being a Lunatic Farmer. And then there's also Holy Cow and Hog Heaven, which is the consumer guide to kind of buying good food. And so both of those will be available, as well as some of his others. So, and you can get
and
it signed.
Which of his books has touched you the most?
for me, just being a farmer, it was you can farm. I remember about a decade ago when I was actually at the public library, I pulled it off the shelf and I looked at it and I said, what is this thing? And I took it home and I read it cover to cover that day.
Wow.
And it was the first time for me that, you know, because at that point in my life I was probably much more involved in what would be considered conventional agriculture. I actually spent a little time working at a feedlot. That was the first time I heard somebody speaking on the same wavelength as what I was thinking. This is the way food should be produced. And I just didn't know anyone was doing it on a large scale. And then also his marketing approach, let's make this available for the masses, and kind of how to do that. So that personally touched me. And like I said, you know, about 18 months later, I saw him speak in Lincoln, and it just completely turned my life around. And I thought, I'm not going to be a part of this other system any longer. And that's about the time I started working for Chaffin Orchards.
Oh, perfect timing, huh?
Yeah. So,
well, hey, we're going to take a break. And this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. We'll be right back after these messages. Do you? Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. We're talking to Chris Kirsten of Chaffin Family Orchards down in Oroville, California. And are you still with us, Chris?
Still here.
Oh, good. Hey, we just have a few more minutes. And, you know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit. You know, we'll kind of recap how to find you again here in a minute.
Sure.
But I kind of want to just take a little departure over with part of what has touched me with Joel's work is that, you know, early on he was just so committed to helping people get to real food that was dramatically changing their lives. You know, I think it's really easy for the consumer to not have a clue why they feel so lousy most of the day.
Yeah.
And you know, you'd think to yourself, there must be really something wrong with me, something out of my control. And, you know, when we started really looking at getting people back to clean food and just saying, hey, let's start by cutting out, you know, half of this fake stuff. Let's have you get rid of some colors. Let's get rid of some preservatives. Let's kind of go back. Let's go back in time to how people used to eat and see if you notice anything. And, you know, when people were having dramatic turnarounds in their health, I mean, it's hard to not just be completely inspired. And one of the things I'll kind of always hold dear in my heart is that, you know, he was really committed to that, you know, early on. And before he really, you know, his way, his method of developing agriculture, you know, that's just kind of a necessary way we need to grow and to return to. But, you know, being in healthcare myself, watching people's immune systems power back up, you know, that's hard to not just completely get a little hyper over.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, Joel is probably one of the most steadfast individuals that I've ever met. You know, he wrote the book Everything I Want to Do Is Illegal. And just to kind of, you know, break away from that a little bit and just talk about that, I don't think the average consumer has a clue the bureaucracy that farmers have to jump through. I mean, it's almost become a full-time job now for me to just manage all of those other things outside of farming, you know, just to make sure that we can stay in business legally.
Yeah.
You know, and then kind of...
Do you think he'll touch on that quite a bit? Because that's such a big one. You know, people need to know what all you go through.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a huge part of it. Because we're really going to kind of gear this to consumer education, and I think that's a huge part of that and understanding it. You know, but then you talk about, you know, his commitment to making sure that people can get healthy food. Well, one of the reasons healthy foods can't be produced is because of that bureaucracy,
right?
Because of kind of the laws that are out there. And he just says, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to fight for the American right to choose what we eat and to choose healthy food, regardless of the fact the lobbyists want to shove more corn and soy down our throat. We're going to go ahead and produce food that's actually good for people. And, you know, he's got, you know, these heart-wrenching stories of people that drive, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles to come and get his food and change his life. And we've got stories like that, too. You know, I've got a lady who drives from Pasadena every year to come to our farm to buy 70 chickens at $4.50 a pound, and that's my break-even cost. You know, we don't make any money on chickens.
Yeah.
But to come and drive all that way to get, you know, healthy chicken for her daughter has celiac, and she wants to make sure that she doesn't get sick all the time. And so for her, it's absolutely worth it and makes sense to drive up here and get the chickens. you know, and to hear those kind of stories and hear, oh, God, that's terrible, and then you hear it's changing their life, and
yeah.
you hear the hope kind of come back into their voice. It's really powerful. I mean, there are days that literally people are in tears, and you're hugging at the farm over what food we buy. How far have we gotten in our culture that you know, we have to get to this level to kind of come back to reality? It's really sad. And so, you know, I think that this area in the North Valley is ripe and ready for a revolution. I think people are receptive, and you're right. They see that, geez, I don't feel right. I feel lousy. And, you know, this is not right. I mean, you can see it in our pets. Our pets get all the diseases we do. It's because we feed them crap. You know?
Oh, and their lifespan is so much shorter.
It's shorter, and they get cancer and diabetes and all the same things that we didn't get 100 years ago. Now even our pets are getting. And so you have to make that connection and go, it's the food.
It's the food.
You know, and so I think this is going to be a amazingly powerful event, but also community bonding. I mean, if you have 600 or 700 people in a room, you know, we're all going to kind of go through this experience together and go, geez, you know, he's right. This is powerful stuff, and kind of remember that together, which I think is going to be cool. I think it's going to be a community event that's remembered for a really long time.
Gosh, you know, I mean, I can see that, you know, not being a farmer, I don't realize often how much encouragement you guys need. And I can see that this guy really is championing your cause, but he's offering you, I mean, he's just like, you know, it's going to be a perfect pep talk, huh?
Yeah, I think so. We're really excited. We couldn't be more thrilled.
Well, you know, the takeaway for people, I hope they get that, you know, food is your best medicine, and let's give everybody the details again, and it's worth, you know, for us, it's hour and 15 minutes to Chico. You know, it's just no big deal. We do it for all sorts of reasons.
Right.
We used to do it for Trader Joe's. We used to do it for all sorts of things here and there. We
yeah.
certainly need to do it to support you guys and Joe Salatin. So how do we find you again?
Okay, so you want to get tickets, you want to go to Chaffin Orchard, Chaffin Orchards.eventbrite.com. Tickets are $14 each. The event is on Monday, January 17th at 5:30 p.m. It's at the Chico Masonic Family Center, which is at 1110 West East Avenue. If any of that doesn't work, you can get a hold of us at 533-1676, and that's our ranch office line. Again, there's just the five of us at the farm, and so if you don't get someone, just be sure to leave a message and let us know that you're having trouble getting tickets, and we can get on the phone and kind of guide you through that.
And how long will he be speaking?
He's going to probably start speaking around 6, and we're going to kind of leave some of that up to him. It'll probably be an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours max. And then there'll be the book signing after that.
Okay, so if people already own his book, or will they be able to buy books there?
They will be able to buy books there, yeah. We got 4 of his different more popular books shipped to us. And then I don't think there's any problem if you want to bring your own copy of Omnivore's Dilemma or even Fresh the Movie or Food Inc. or anything else. You know, if you've got your old favorite classic dog-eared You Can Farm, you can bring that. And have that sign and then get a chance to meet him. It'll be we're going to have to kind of rush through that like any book signing, but, you know, you're going to get to shake his hand and say thank you.
Oh,
and,
perfect. Hey, you know what? We're closing out right here in the last couple seconds. Hey, Chris, I want to thank you for coming on today.
You.
Loved having you. Can't wait to meet you in person. We'll see you on Monday the 17th.
Sounds good.
All right.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.